Meantime, as promised, we are joined by the managers of the Philadelphia Phillies. Manager, second season with the Phillies, led Philadelphia to a 14-win improvement last season. Philadelphia is a half game out of first in the NL East. They're at Miami tonight, 7:10 p.m. Eastern. So because they're at Miami tonight, it would stand to reason that he is in center field right now doing a workout. And he stopped that workout to talk to us for a few minutes. Phillies manager Gabe Kapler is my guest. Gabe, it's great to have you on. How are you?
Good talking to you, Jim. Yeah, I got a nice view of this beautiful ballpark and already looking forward to just after 7 o'clock when Jake takes the mound for us.
I love it. My man, talk to me about that workout. What kind of a workout are you getting in pregame?
It's pretty simple. I was just jogging around and getting some calisthenics in between. So just bodyweight stuff, push-ups, bodyweight squats, jogging back and forth. More than anything, I just want to get my blood moving. So when we have this conversation, my brain's working quickly.
Man, I love that. That's so good. Gabe Kapler joining us. All right, so you're coming off a pair of tough losses to the Nationals. One in extra innings on Tuesday, then one on Wednesday, where not a whole lot went well. You had an off day yesterday. How eager are you then to get back at it right now?
Very, very eager. Yeah, the last couple of games were really disappointing. There was a lot of promise in those last two games, and we just didn't get it done. We didn't make pitches when we needed to make pitches. We didn't pick up the ball the way we can. We're just capable of a really high level of play. Philadelphia, our fans, our clubhouse, our staff, we've all set the bar really high. And so anytime we fail to meet it, it's really disappointing. It's hard to wash away, frankly. Not one of those things that you just leave the ballpark and you forget about it. You run plays over and over in your mind and think about things that you could have done differently as a group. But now that we're here at the ballpark in Miami, our focus is squarely on the Marlins.
Phillies manager Gabe Kapler joining us. Now, of course, the biggest story of the offseason for you and the team was the arrival of Bryce Harper. 11 games into the season, how would you describe his impact?
I don't even know how to describe it and give it the credit that it deserves. I think we all knew about the performer that Bryce Harper was, so it's no surprise that he's come out and swung the bat really well. No surprise that he's run the bases with a bunch of aggressiveness. No surprise that he sacrificed his body in the outfield. And the reason that's no surprise is because we've seen it for 5-6 years in a row, and we knew that that was coming. What we didn't know was coming is that Bryce is especially intelligent. He's very aware of what his teammates need from him. He knows that he just needs to fit into this environment. He doesn't have to stand out, be the biggest voice in the clubhouse, and he's embraced that role. He really puts his teammates before him. It's genuine, and I think that's what surprised me most about having Bryce in our clubhouse.
Gabe Kapler joining us. So, Gabe, go back to last week in Washington and Harper's return for the first time since leaving. That's a ballpark full of people who were ready to boo him. The guy shows up, three hits, including that monster bomb. What was that moment like for you?
Well, it was really surprising. The reaction surprised a lot of us. We figured there would be some disappointment, and we expected some disappointment. But Bryce did a lot for the city of Washington, D.C., did a lot for the Nationals. And I remember back to Johnny Damon in a Yankees uniform receiving a standing ovation from the Red Sox fans. And after that, he got a lot of boos. So there was plenty of opportunity to let Johnny know that they wish he would have been in a Red Sox uniform. However, I was just kind of surprised by the initial reaction. I think we all were. And then Bryce, to have that sort of, I guess, negativity, emotion, and to channel that emotion and to be so successful was really inspiring to all of us. We were very encouraged by that.
Gabe Kapler joining us. The very best can do that, right? They can internalize that, use it as fuel, and then show up and perform. Gabe, one more thought about the clubhouse. You mentioned this. You touched on this, but after the game, Bryce told his teammates, quote, "You guys have embraced me from day one. Thanks for having my back. Having your support means everything to me. I love you guys," end quote. So how significant was that from a team chemistry standpoint?
It was huge, and it wasn't just a public statement, right? He was making those sort of statements in the dugout, in the clubhouse, in one-on-one conversations and in group conversations. I personally think expressing gratitude goes a long way. He felt like he received a tremendous amount of support from the moment he put on a Phillies uniform, and he just wanted to express that. I have a lot of respect for it. I don't think it makes you weak to say thank you, and that's basically how he leads. He leads with gratitude.
We're talking to Gabe Kapler. All right, so let me ask you about Rhys Hoskins. He had 18 home runs, Gabe, in 50 games as a rookie. He followed that up with 34 last year. He's already got 5 this year. How much do you like that combo of Harper and Hoskins in your lineup?
Yeah, and it's not just those two guys, right? It's McCutchen, Segura, Harper, Hoskins, and Real Muto in combination. And so certainly the 3-4 combo is huge. But Segura's a different profile than what we had in the lineup last year. So he's not necessarily a deep count, foul off a bunch of pitches, draw a walk kind of two-hole hitter. He's the kind of guy that's going to find the sweet spot and drive the ball into the gaps. And then he can run the bases. So then he's on base, and you have Harper, who is more of a deep count, home run, potential walk. And then you have Haas, who's kind of wired similarly. And finally, Real Muto, whose profile is more like Segura. So it's a really nice blend and balance, 1 through 5, and it's worked out well thus far.
Hey, Gabe, one more thing about Segura. I mean, anytime you can add another bat that hits over 300, that's a great thing. But how much does he impact you defensively, and what does that mean for your pitchers?
Yeah, I think Matt Klentak did a tremendous job of upgrading our defense. Our defense just didn't perform well last year. There's no way to sugarcoat it. It was bad. So we knew that we had to make some upgrades. We got Rhys back to his natural position at first base. Matt went out and he traded for Segura, solidified our defense at shortstop, like you mentioned. Our outfield defense, our infield defense has improved. And Rhys at first base is quietly a error saver. He's a big, lanky target. He stretches very well. He's got good timing on his stretches, and he moves around the bag very well. So he's going to save some errors for the guys on the left side of the infield and perhaps Cesar Hernandez as well. So the defensive upgrades have been notable, and they have definitely made an impact thus far.
Chopping it up with Gabe Kapler for a few more moments. Gabe, Hoskins, he's not a household name yet, but you said earlier in the year that in many ways he's actually the heartbeat of your team. What do you mean by that? How important is he to the team?
I think what I mean by it is I think other people lean on him. So if you think about the way the heart beats and supplies blood to the body, it's kind of what Rhys does for the clubhouse, what he does for our lineup, what he does for the city. I think our local reporters look to him for quotes after the game, and it's because he knows how to support, but he also calls it like it is. We're not playing up to the standards of the clubhouse and of the coaching staff and of the city. He's going to say it directly, and he's going to be accountable. And I think for all of those reasons, it's appropriate that other people look to him for guidance.
You know, Gabe, you've always been like this, and I'm struck by it as you and I are having this conversation right now. I've always appreciated the fact that you're always looking to not only learn more, but to challenge your own beliefs and change them if necessary. So how different are you as a manager this year as compared to last year?
Much different. I've made a lot of adjustments. I think the first adjustment that I've made, Jim, is I've recognized that players are pretty emotional, and rightfully so. There's a lot at stake. There's a lot on the line for them. So whereas last year I really wanted to get every tactical advantage, every strategic advantage, and sometimes even at the expense of hurting somebody's feelings. And I'm not saying that there isn't a time and a place for that. I absolutely think there is. But from my perspective at this point, optimizing for player comfort, for good positive emotions, positive vibes at the ballpark, has trumped the tiniest strategic advantages for us this year. I know that we're going to get into a playoff game and we're going to make moves at some point that are much more tactical and sometimes uncomfortable for people. But right now, the adjustment that I've made is to let people feel as comfortable as possible. I believe that comfort will lead to confidence, and I believe that confidence will lead to positive performance.
Right, so, Gabe, what about your approach? You and I have talked in the past that, you know, you're not a guy who's going to spend a lot of time golfing or fishing or watching TV. If you've got free time, you're going to drink some coffee. You're going to scour information. So I'm curious, what about your offseason? Did you allow yourself to relax a little bit, get away from baseball, or were you smashing Joe and taking in all the information you could possibly get?
Oh, that's hysterical. Openly, I'm just not great at relaxing traditionally, but I do find my places to you know, kick my feet up. One of the ways that I do that is, like you mentioned, I walk into a coffee shop with my iPad, I'll read, and I'll put my headphones in, and that is a huge escape for me. I did a lot of that this offseason. I learned a lot about Philadelphia and the people in Philadelphia. I care deeply about the history of the city and learning as much as I can every day.
Gabe, one last thought, and I really appreciate your time today so much, but California guy to California guy, back in November, you lost your home in the California fires. As devastating as that must have been for you, you immediately shifted the focus to helping to shine the light on others who had lost even more than you. What was that experience like, and how were you able to immediately stop feeling sorry for yourself and get out in front and help others?
Oh, it was tough. I think for anybody that was in that area, that had family in that area, it was pretty overwhelming. And I don't think that the impact of people losing their homes, just completely gone, is going to go away in a 3 or 4 month period. I think it's going to take years. And sometimes the sting of that never goes away. Our family thought it made some sense to reach out and look out for some of the families that weren't quite as fortunate. But there was a lot of people doing that, Jim. There was baseball players who have made their homes in Malibu, putting together charity softball events. I know Ryan Braun. I know Kristen Yelich. I know guys like Mike Lieberthal, Royce Clayton, who have been around a long time in Southern California, did everything that they possibly could to raise awareness for the people that had lost their homes and didn't have the financial means to weather the storm immediately. So a lot of good work is done. And I think, to your point, when tragic things happen, it's an opportunity for us to do right by other people.
Good for you. Good for them. Gabe Kapler, manager of the Philadelphia Phillies, in his second season there, he led them to a 14-win improvement last season. They're only a half game out of first, and they've got a game tonight at Miami, 7:10 p.m. Eastern. Gabe, so good to have you back. I appreciate you. I always look forward to that conversation. Thanks so much, Gabe.
Jim, really loved it, and I'll see you soon.
You're the best. Gabe Kapler. God, I love the way he started the interview. Love the way he started the interview. Yes, I'm working out right now. Want to get my blood flowing so my head is right for this conversation. It's such a Gabe Kapler thing to say, too, right? 7:10 p.m. Eastern start in center field at 9:51 Pacific, getting a workout in. You know, just some calisthenics. Get the blood pumping. Get the head right for the interview.